Hashem Rechem Elokim Hei Makrivim Bahoy Kodesh, but still it means that they're Roy Lachrovitz, even Bizman Azer. Even a Balmum, who's not Roy Lachrovitz, also the Torah Kahanim says explicitly, all of these dinim apply even to a Balmum. The dinim apply even to a, what we call Kohani Chazoke, even if the Kohen is not a Kohen Miyuchas. And for many years, the early Yerachreinim were working on the assumption that Kohani Chazoke, the Kohanim that we have is Manazah, who don't really have a Ksav Yichas, they don't have a documentation to indicate that they are Benach, 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 all the way back to Aaron HaKohen, that they are not Chalolim. So it's assumed, since in the early generations, many Achreinim assumed that Kohani Chazoke are only Sofik Kohanim. The reason for this is that in Sefer Ezra, it says that when they built the second Beit HaMikdash, they looked around to see how many Kohanim they had to be makom korbanos, and whoever couldn't produce a ksav yichus was rejected. That's how the pasuk says, "Bikshu ksavim hamasyaksim v'lo matzo." They couldn't find the ksav yichus v'nigo alumin hakohanim. They were rejected from the kohanim. So they only allowed Kohanim yuchasim to be makom korbanos, and the Baisheni didn't permit Kohani Chazok. And nonetheless, the Gemara says in Ksubis in the second parak that Kohani Chazok, even though they don't have a Ksav Yichas, are permitted to eat Truma. So why the distinction between Truma and Hakrovos Korbanos? So one could argue the point and say because Truma Bizman Azeh is only the Rabbanon. That's how the Rambam writes in the end of Perek Aleph in Hilchos Truma. So Truma Bizman Azeh, Afilu Bimei Ezra, even during the period of the Bais Sheni, the Truma was only the Rabbanon. So maybe it's like Sofik the Rabbanon Lekula. Kohanim Bizman Azeh are only Kohani Chazok, they're only Sofik Kohanim. With respect to eating Truma de Rabbanon, that's a Sofik de Rabbanon Lekula. With respect to being Makor Kabbanon, that's a real Din Daraisa, that's Zar, Sha'avad, non Kohen, it does have, it is Misa B'dei Shamayim, that's a real Isa Daraisa. Today you would say that a Sofik Daraisa Lechuma. So this was the way it was assumed for many years. I, the Gemara, says the Feirish that even if one, the Gemara says in the second Perek in Ksubis, there's a Machloikis back and forth whether Truma Bizman Azeh is Daraisa de Rabbanon. So there were opinions in the days of the Tanoim and Amoraim that Truma Bizman Bais Sheni was their Isa. The Rambam happens to Paskin, that's why we assume in Yeriday and Shin Lamed Aleph that Truma Bizman Azeh is only the Rabbanon. But there were opinions that Truma Bizman Azeh is their Isa. The Gemara said the Feirish that Kohani Chazoke, although they're not permitted to be makom korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, they may eat Truma, even if one should assume that Truma Bizman Azeh is their Isa. How can you say it's based on something the Rabban Lekulas? I don't understand how in the world the Achreinim had this idea, but that's what they suggest. And they said it's based on Chazoka, that they were eating Truma for so many years, so that's why the Cheskas Kuhuna is good to continue to eat Truma, even though they were only eating Truma the Rabbanan and Chutz Lorim, and now they want to eat Truma the Reis and Eretz Yisrael, but still there was a Chazoka. But with respect to being makor korbanos, that they hadn't been makor of any korbanos in 70 years, so there was no chazoka. What do they mean? What do they mean? Have a cheskes, they were assumed to be kohanim. For all the years, they duchen and they got their first aliyah and they did pidyon haben and they ate truma derabbanan. So they were assumed to be kohanim. So why doesn't the chazoka, from all the other things, from all the other functions of kohuna, help for the makor design korbanos? How did these achrayim understand? I don't understand what they understood. Anyway. To the beginning of the Zionist movement, then Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was one of the leaders of religious Zionism. Most of the Zionists were secular, anti-religious. And Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiviger. So he wrote published a sefer Drishas Tzion, where he tried to encourage the idea of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash and Hakramas Kabbanis Bizman Azeh before any Medina. Before they had a dream of establishing the Medina. He thought that he didn't realize there was a mosque on the Makom HaMikdash. He never visited Eretz Yisrael. He was interested in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash and being Makom Korbanos. So he thought that he raised all the issues and solved all the issues. He raised the issue of the Makom HaMizbeach, raised the issue of Tumah Bizman Azeh and Matzah HaShekel, and what's going to be all the different issues about the Tchelas, what's going to be. So one of the major issues that he raised was that the Kohanim are only Kohani Chazoke. We have very few Kohanim Yuchasim Bizman Azeh, so who's going to be Makriv the Korbanos? So he came up with a Chiddush that in his little Sefer in the Drishas Tzion, that the need for Kohanim Yuchasim is only a Chumra Midrabanan that was introduced in the days of Ezra, the beginning of the period of Bais Sheni. And that's why they only introduced it with respect to our Proverbs Korbanos. They never introduced it with respect to Achilas Truma. But Kohani Chazok Avad Kohanim. not that there's a suffix about it. It's not that it's a suffix the Rabbanu Lekul and suffix the Raisa B'chumer. Kohani Chazaka Abadi Kohani. And Rebbe Kiveger and the Chassam Sefer were both maskim. Rebbe Zvi Hirschkalushev is a Talmud of Rebbe Kiveger. So he sent his whole country to his Rebbe, so he was maskim. Then it was a major issue. They thought it was relevant, blah, blah, but they didn't realize that there was a mask on the Makam HaMikdash. They thought it was Nagel HaMaisa. So Kiveger sent it to the Chassam Sefer, happened to be his son-in-law. So he was also maskim. So they were all maskim about the possibility of building a Beis HaMikdash without a Medina, without a Jewish Medina, and being Makar of Korbanos. And they all agreed to this idea that Kohanim is Manazah, but the Kohanim did not suffer Kohanim. And Kohani Chazok is only a Chumim in the Rabbanim that they shouldn't be Makar of Korbanos. So that's why it's not right that some Rabbanim are still Makal today when there are some issues come up with respect to marriage. If a Kohen is allowed to marry a girl, and it's a Shaila in the Gemara, whether this girl is Meteresh L'Kohen or not, so some want to say, well, the Kohanim today are only Suffolk Kohanim, and the Suffolk in the Gemara is only an issue of the Rabbanim, so it's a Suffolk the Rabbanim L'Kula. It's not the Kohanim today are not that ancient, that's an old mistake that was made by the early Achronim. In the days of Rabbi Kiveger on, for the days of Rabbi Tzvi Hirschkalushev on, it is assumed that the Kohanim are Badei Kohanim, they're not Suffolk Kohanim, and there's no room to be Makom. There is such a thing as a Suffolk Kohen. The Mishnah in Yevamos has a case of Suffolk Kohen. Two women gave birth, one is Mrs. Cohen and one is Mrs. Levy. And they both gave birth and one is Mrs. Israel. All three women gave birth in the hospital and they mixed up all the three babies and you can't tell which baby is which. As man is that you can tell by the blood test or whatever, DNA, you can tell 1, 2, 3. It's very easy to tell. But the man of Mishnah, you can't tell who's who. So the Mishnah talks about a Suffolk Kohen. So what do you do? How do you treat the Suffolk Kohen? How do you treat the Suffolk Levi? How do you treat the Suffolk Israel? Okay. But you don't assume that the Kohani Chazok are Suffolk Kohen. The Pashto says we assume that they are all Vadai Kohen. And the Torah forbids the Kohanim from... So the Binyan Tzion, the first two letters in the Shalosh Shivos Binyan Tzion are to Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalosher about the possibility of Binyan Tzion. That's why he named the Sefer. It's a collection of Shabbos and Shuvahs and all balanced out the Shulchanot. But he named it Binyan Tzion because of the first two Shuvahs. Yeah. So he disagrees with Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalosher for different grounds. He disagrees. He said that you have to have authorization from a Navi to build a Beis HaMikdash. And that's how many others say as well. That the Gemara, the Sifrei has a drasha and the Pasuk. And Parshas Re'eh, the Shechner Zidushu, Vasa Shama, Drosh Alpi Navi. So he understood that to mean that you need a Navi to authorize the building of a Beis HaMikdash. And so others said, well, that's only a Sifrei and it doesn't appear in the Gemara. So others argued back, no, it does seem to appear in the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Gimel Nevi'im, Aluim, Mahami, Bavel. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Bnei Yisrael at the time of the beginning of the Binyan by Sheni, and he decided not going to send any more Nevi'im to Bnei Yisrael to give them to Chacha. But three Nevi'im he did send, Chagas Chai Malachi, and each one of those Nevi'im guided Bnei Yisrael on three different aspects of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara was a little vague. If it says in the Gemara in the end of the first Perek in Yuma, the Rabbi Shalom is angry at Bnei Yisrael. He said from now on he's not going to send any more Nevi'im. So why were these three Chagas Chai Malachi, why were they an exception to the rule? So it would seem that that's what Avdolah Soloveitchik says, that's what the Binyan Tzion says, that this is the reason why, because if he wouldn't have sent these three Nevi'im, they wouldn't have been able to build a Beis HaMikdash. In order to build a Beis HaMikdash, you have to have authorization from a Navi. So others disagree with the Chiddush of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalosher and the Chassam Sofer and Rabbi Kiveger. They all agreed about the possibility of building a Beis HaMikdash and so on. They all agreed about that. Others disagree for other reasons, but from that time on, it's generally assumed that the Kohanim is Manazah Abadah Kohanim, they're not Suffolk Kohanim. The earlier Achronim, in the 1700s, in the 1600s, used to write like that Kohanim Chazak are only Suffolk Kohanim. But the Achronim after the days of Rabbi Kiveger, well, assume not so, that they're Abadah Kohanim. I don't know. We're not sure what that means. What do you mean? When you do a pinyin aben, so you say a bracha. The kohen says a bracha. When the kohen of duchen, they say a bracha. Well, they sing a bracha about Torah. If it's really a suffix, so let them not say a bracha. So there are Achronim, the early Achronim who assumed that Kohani Chazaka, only Sofer Kohanim, were worried about that kasha. So they said something, but as they didn't give a satisfactory answer. And the fact that they say a bracha, that itself is an indication that they're Vada Kohanim. And the fact that they ate Truma Deraisa is an indication that they're Vada Kohanim. The halacha says that the Kohanim are not permitted to come in contact with a mace, l'nefesh leitam abiyamov. And the Gemara Nazir presents a machlekes amaroim, the way we have the gears, that's a machlekes abai v'rove, and the din is like rove. Whenever there's a machlekes abai v'rove, the din is like rove, unless it's yal kagam, so here it's not. And the Ramon and Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is according to our gears, that it's abai v'rove. All the other gears have different names, so the psak will be otherwise, that's on a mechaber pasuk. But the Ramon Pasuk is that a kohen is not even permitted to come into contact with a goseis. Let's say a kohen wants to go visit a relative in the hospital, and the relative is a goseis, so the people on the floor are goseis. A goseis means one is holding by dying, one is holding by the very end, is about to die. So even though a goseis is kachai, the chol devar, a goseis is not metame, but still the Ramah paskens against the mechaber, and that's how the Ashkenazim follow the psak of the Ramah, that a kohen is also to come in contact with a goseis, even though the goseis is not metame. Religions of the world were always interested in spirituality, and they realized that there's such a thing as spirituality as opposed to Gashmias, when babies were born and when people died. When a baby's born, then if there's a spirit, there's a Ruach Chaim that's in the baby, it's not just a piece of flesh. And when a person dies, if there was a spirit that disappeared, there used to be a spirit and now it's only a goof without a neshama. So that's why in all the different religions Tosis points out in Masechas Avodah Zarah, the practice always was when a baby was born and when somebody died, they used to do some kind of religious activities. The ministers of all the religions used to get involved there to capture the spirituality. So the Torah says that in our religion, the Kohanim was supposed to be the clergymen. Kohanim are not supposed to get involved in any mason. And it could even be that that's why in the Haftarah Parshas Emor, we have all of the special dinim of the Kohanim reviewed again from the Chumash, it's from the Novi Yecheskel. So it says the Kohanim are not allowed, Roshim lo yigalecha, they're not allowed to shave off all the hair, but also fera lo yishalecha, they're not allowed to have long hair. Because some yichsenu es rashay, they have to be properly groomed. Because they're properly groomed, they have to take a haircut. They have to see to it that 30 days doesn't go by. They have to take a haircut on a regular basis. It doesn't mean that they have to have hair like this. In the days of George Washington, so the minhag was that the men wore long hair also. They all wore long shaver. So they have to take a haircut every 30 days. It should look good. Whatever is makubal, whatever is considered proper. But if you leave 30 days go by, whatever your hair is supposed to look like. If a guy has a crew cut and he lets his hair go too long, more than 30 days, it doesn't look good. Going to that style, if a guy has a haircut like this, if he goes 30 days, if he has long hair, let it go 30 days. So whatever it's supposed to look like, if you let it grow more than 30 days, that's Tera Lo Yishalechu. You learn that Tera Tera from Nazir. So the Kohanim have to be careful with the hair, and the Kohen Gadol even has to be more careful with the hair. That Pasuk in the Haftarah from Yecheskel speaks about the Kohen Gadol also, and the Gemara says in the second Perek in Sanhedrin, that the Kohen Gadol has to take a haircut once a week. The Malach has to take a haircut once a day. How can he take a haircut once a day? It means that he shaves once a day. I don't know what he does. How can he take a haircut once a day? But the Kohen Gadol has to take a haircut once a week to really be properly groomed. Not like the clergymen of other religions, some of whom would shave off all the hair, and others would let the hair grow long. You have pictures in the newspapers. You have the Hare Krishna and the other guys. Apparently the hair also has to do with life and death. Taisus writes in the first Perek in Bava Kamma that a mace is also bahanah, doesn't apply to the seir hamace. Apparently the hair is dead matter, it's not considered live matter. It's 2 days in the two girsas in the Gemara, the end of the first Perek in Erechim, whether the isa hanah of mace applies even to the seir. There's a long arichas there, if you look in the Oris of Rav Shlomo Lavilni has a long arichas based on two girsas that appear in the Shal Shivas HaRashbo. I had to read the Gemara there at the end of the first Perek in Erechim, whether Seir HaMeis is also Bano or Seir HaMeis is Muta Bano. The Tosis in the first Perek in Bava Kamma had the girsa that Seir HaMeis is Muta Bano. So that's probably the reason why, that the hair is dead matter, as opposed to the rest of the body, which was alive, and then when the person dies, then it's dead. So that's a mace. And this hair is not considered a mace, because it wasn't so alive while the person was alive. So apparently, the obsession of the Galochim, of the other religions, to have some connection with death, carried over to the issue of the hair as well. The Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, and he carries this over to the Arach HaZaka as well, that the reason why the Torah writes specifically and so on, this apparently was the practice of the Galochim of the other religions. That's why we call them Galochim. He used to shave all the hair, he used to shave off the pants, or shave off the beard, whatever. There was some obsession with hair. Apparently also had some connection with death. So Rabbi Shalom wants the Kohanim shouldn't have any connection at all with death. You can be spiritual while you're alive and kicking and not have anything to do with death. The exception to the rule is the Zayin Krayvim. With respect to the seven relatives, then the Torah says, Lo Yitamo, and this is a Machlokes HaTanaim, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, whether Lo Yitamo is the Rishus, Rabbi Shmuel holds that he's permitted, the Kohen is permitted if he chooses to attend the funeral of the seven relatives, but he's not obligated to. If he doesn't want, he doesn't have to. And the Halacha was accepted, like Rabbi Akiva, Lo Yitamo is a Chayvo, he's obligated to be Mitamei, to the Zayin Krayvim. The Gemara has an expression in the beginning of Maseches Sota on Dav Gimel. At one point, the Gemara suggests that this Machlokes Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel is not a local Machlokes only here with respect to Lo Yitamo. We find that in another two instances, and it seems to indicate a style of understanding called La Torah Kula. The other two places are with respect to an Eved Kenaini. It says, the pasuk says that when you have an Eved Ivri, you have to let the Eved Ivri go free after 6 years, and when it comes the Yom Kippur of Shnas HaYoivo, but in Eved Kenaini it says it's not so. He doesn't go free, he goes free B'Shem Deyayim, but he doesn't go free with Sheish, and he doesn't go free with Yoivo, and the expression that appears in the end of Vayikra is Li'olam Ha'em Tavoidim. So that's also a Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that it's optional. If you want to, you have a right to hold on to your Eved Kenaini forever and ever. You never have to free him. You don't have to free him when it comes Yoivel, you don't have to free him. If you don't want to, you don't have to free him if it comes Sheish. If you want to free him, it's up to you. But why should you? If you're not interested in maintaining the Eved Kenaini, so go sell him to someone else. Why should you free him? But if you want to, Gizantei. Rabbi Akiva says, no, that I'm a Shachar Abdo, Oiva Be'asei, that the Olam Em Tavoidu is a Choivo. And then the Gemara quotes the third instance. This is the beginning of Saita on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara quotes the third instance in the Parsha Saita. It says, "Va'avar alav ruach kina v'kina yisishta," that if the man is suspicious that his wife was acting improperly with someone else, so it says v'kina yisishta, and he warns his wife that she shouldn't do anything improper. So that's also machlokes Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says it's a rishus if he happens to have such chashoshes, if he's choshed his wife, so then bikini is ishtar. If he's mekani his wife, so this and this will be the din. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, that it's a mitzvah, that it's a chayva, that if the husband has concern that his wife is not being faithful, he's obligated to be mekani his wife. So the Gemara suggests that maybe these three disputes in these three places between the same three tanaim, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, maybe it's lishitosam, because in all three cases Rabbi Akiva says chayva, Rabbi Shmuel says rishus, and maybe it indicates a style of understanding kol ha-terakula, where the kol ha-terakula is chayva, kol ha-terakula is rishus. What exactly does that mean? Where the kol ha-terakula is rishus? What do you mean? It says you put on tefillin. That means if you want to. It says you have to keep Shabbos if you want to. What do you mean kol ha-terakula is rishus ha-chayva? Exactly, what does that mean? So it could be that the Gemara is alluding to the idea that the chayva salvavus has. There was a Musa Sefer that was written by one of the big Rabbanim who lived in Vilna in the days of the Vilna Goyen. He's outshined by the Vilna Goyen. So everybody else faded into insignificance in the presence of the Vilna Goyen. But he was famous on his own right. He wrote a Sefer, Yisod V'Sherash HaAvoda. The author's name is Rabbi Alexander Ziskin. Some of his descendants are known by the family name Beraz, B'nei Rabbi Alexander Ziskin, Rosh Hashanah. Mishnah Brura once in a while refers it to this Sefer, he said B'Shar Shavayim. So in this Sefer, he refers to this idea that he calls Klala Hayofa Shal Bal Chavis Alvavis. That the Chavis Alvavis claims that there's not such thing as a Dvar Harshus. Everything in the world is black and white. There's nothing, there's no gray area. Either you're obligated to do this or you're forbidden to do it. Let's say the person has a choice what to do this summer. Should he go to Eretz Yisrael? Should he go hiking? Or should he go bicycling cross country? Or should he go boating? Or should he go to camp? Or should he do this? So the din says that he's mechuyev to do whatever is best for his health, whatever is best. Yes. So it's not that it's a gray area. No, each person has a million options and he has to figure out whatever is the best options for his purposes, for his religious growth and for his physical well-being and so on. And then he's mechuyev to do that. So sometimes the halacha will be kaveh, you're mechuyev to go bicycling cross country. You're mechuyev to go boating all summer long. You're mechuyev to go hiking. It's not that I got a choice to do whatever I want. No, there is a choice in the world. And for some people, they're mechuyev to do this. And for other people, they're mechuyev to do that. That's what the, let's say, a guy has a choice, either to go into Rabbonis, or to go into Chinuch, or to go into medicine, or to go into law. It's not that he has a choice. There are many choices in the world. And each person has to see what is he cut out for, and where will he have the most sipukat nefesh, and where will he accomplish most for the world. And that's the area that he's obligated to enter into. It's not that it's a gray area. It starts off as being gray, and then it becomes black and white. Absolutely obligatory to do that. So that's what the Seder B'Sherish Avodah refers to as the Klola Hayofel Shal Bal Chavis Havomis. That there's no such thing as a Dvar Roshus. So it sounds a little bit in the Gemara as if the Gemara suggested at one point that that is the Machlekes Rebbe Kiva and Rebbe Shmuel. That is the three instances that they were working on, the Lo Yitamo and Le'olam Em Tavoidu and the Kinei Sishtoi, Gavar Ol Baruch Kinei V'Kinei Sishtoi, that's all the Shittos. So Rebbe Shmuel thinks that there is such a thing as a Dvar Roshus. Sometimes you can decide whatever you want. However, whatever mood you happen to be in. And Rabbi Akiva perhaps disagrees and he says, no, Kala Tarakula is black and white. There's no such thing as a Dvar HaShus. You cannot interpret a pasuk that is speaking about Dvar HaShus. Taisus there on Saita is bothered with a kasha. This is a famous kasha. The Ramban on the first page in the Sefer Mitzvah asks the kasha. Is it so that there are 613 mitzvahs? Does everybody agree to that? Look at these three psukim. Rabbi Yishmael knocks out three mitzvahs. He says that these are not a chayva. He says it's only optional. It's a reshus. It doesn't count. Lo Yitama doesn't count as one of the tayag misater. It's just a heter. There is an iser, the nefesh lo Yitama Rabbi Amav. So here you have a heter that the kohen is permitted, if he chooses to, he's permitted to be mitama to design kohen. So Rabbi Yishmael deletes three mitzvahs from the minyan of tayag. So it means that not everybody subscribes to the principle that there are 613 mitzvahs. So the Taisvis and the Ramban both give the same answer. Mistame, he will substitute three other mitzvahs instead of these, which Rabbi Akiva will dispute. Rabbi Akiva will hold out his three mitzvahs don't count. Mistame, that's the answer. Like you take the Rambam. The Rambam wrote a whole Sefer mitzvahs where he lists off what he considers are the Taryag mitzvahs. Then the Ramban picks on the Rambam and he deletes a whole bunch of mitzvahs sesin, and he deletes a whole number of mitzvahs loy sesin. But he wants to come to the same maskone as the Rambam, that there are Reish Mem Ches mitzvah says and Shin Samachay mitzvah loy says it. So he replaces the mitzvah that he deleted with other mitzvahs, and he replaces the Isur that he deleted with other Isur. And the end of the Minyan HaMitzvah, so he tells you what he thinks are the mitzvah says that the Rambam forgot to mention, which are the loy says. So the Ramban writes that this is, Ramban writes the same as Taisus in the beginning of Sotam. This is probably what Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva are going to say. So one of the Gdolim from the 1800s, from the early 1800s, came up with an Ein Fal. He knows which are the three mitzvahs that Rabbi Shmuel replaced instead of these three of Rabbi Akiva that he deleted. It's a Mishnah Menachas. There is a Machlekes Atanoim Menachas. If a person has a four-cornered garment and he's obligated to put tzitzis in all four corners, so do you say that all four corners constitute one big mitzvah? The Dalet Tzitzis Ameakim Zezeh. Whenever it's Ma'akim Zezeh, that's an Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvah, that's an indication that it's one mitzvah. So the Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. Masheni kein dalet tzitzios are also ma'akim zezeh as one mitzvah. Masheni kein writes that tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. So the Rambam writes that because the Mishnah tells us that I'm ma'akim zezeh, that's an indication that they're two distinct mitzvahs. So there in the Mishnah in Perek HaTcheles in Menachas, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is quoted that the dalet tzitzios in the four corners. A dalit mitzvah, that's the Lashon HaMishnah. There are four distinct mitzvahs. And he means to say that the Nach Me'akim Zezah. So one of the Gdolim in the early 1800s wrote, we already have a ready-made teretz on the Kasha. Rabbi Shmuel, we know, has three additional mitzvahs because he holds that the dalit tzitzios constitute four mitzvahs. So later Gdolim write that they don't think that he's correct. Ksav Sefer writes in the Hagdamah to Isha al-Sachuvas, he quotes this, and he thinks that it's not correct at all. He says, what do you say if a person has a home with 20 rooms and he needs 20 mezuzahs? So it counts as 20 mitzvahs in the Tayyan mitzvah. No, mezuzah, you put a mezuzah on every door, you're repeating the same mitzvah 20 times. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, the four corners that you put four tzitzios in the four corners, it doesn't count as four distinct mitzvahs in the northeast corner, in the southeast corner, in the northwest corner. What do you mean? It's a repeat of the same mitzvah four times. It doesn't count as four mitzvahs. It's like putting on a mezuzah on four doors. If you have 50 doors in your apartment, so you put on 50 mezuzahs. It's not going to count for 50 mitzvahs. You'll fulfill 50 mitzvahs. They're not matching there, but it's a repeat of the same mitzvah. And the minyan mitzvahs, it only belongs once. You don't count that as four distinct mitzvahs. It's not a separate mitzvah to put a tzitzit in the front corner on the right side, and then another mitzvah in the front corner on the left side. And if you wear the baguette backwards one day, the pashtus is that he's right. The Ksav Sefer is right. That's not those are not the three mitzvahs that you have to replace. This pasuk lo yitamor, the way we pass like Rabbi Akiva, is assumed to be the marker of the institution of kavod abriyos. The Gemara has a whole sugi in brachos on daf kof regarding this principle of kavod abriyos. The pasuk happens to be speaking about kavod amesim. You have to be mechabed even the dead body, but there's a kavod chaim that you have to be mechabed living people. You even have to be mechabed dead people. Kavod chaim, living people. You have to be mechabed living people more than you mechabed dead people. So many people have an attitude. While a guy was alive, we don't give him any respect. I'm more important than him, equally important, more important than him. After he dies, oh, then you got to show respect. What's that? You have to show respect. You stand up. When they bring in the mace, everybody stands up. And we never stood up while the guy was alive. Why are we standing up when the guy is dead? So the Bar Tanura writes in his commentary on Mishnah's Bikurim that the Mishnah says that when the pilgrims were walking towards Yerushalayim and carrying their Bikurim, everybody would stand up out of respect for the Osei Mitzvah. So he writes that that's the reason why we stand up when they bring in the mace, not out of respect for the dead body. We didn't stand up while he was alive. Why should we stand up now that he died? There's more of a chiyuv kavod abriyos while the person is alive than after he died. No, what it means is we're standing up out of respect to the chevra kadisha who are fulfilling a mitzvah now, that they're carrying the mace. The same thing when they bring in the baby for the bris milah. We're not standing up out of respect for the baby. What's achshiv? The baby was just born. Why does he deserve any respect? We're standing up out of respect for the kvater, that the kvater is bringing the baby to perform the mitzvah with him. Out of respect for the oisei mitzvah. Right, you stand up out of respect for the farmers who are going to bring bikurim. You're not standing up out of respect for the bikurim. You're standing up out of respect for the plain farmers because they're in the process of doing a mitzvah now. And whenever one is unable to give respect to both living and dead, if there's a conflict, so which one takes precedence? So the Gemara says in Ksubis, in the beginning of the second paragraph, that kavod achaim is other from the kavod amesim. The Gemara says if there's a crossroads and there's a wedding procession going in one direction, Chazan Kala with a whole group of people attending a wedding, they're going to celebrate with the Chazan Kala. And then there's a funeral going in another direction, and only one group can go at a time. They can't both go at the same time. So mi nitche mipnei mi. So the Brisa says that derchem is hameis mipnei achosan v'akala. And the Shittim Kupetzes over there quotes from the Brisa Maseches Machas that it's not just a local din, it's a general klala. Kavod achaim is other from kavod hameisim. The din of kavod hameisim only applies. The din of kavod abriyos applies to non-Jews as well. There are also abriyos, but the din of kavod amesim, that only applies to Jewish mesim. That doesn't apply to non-Jewish mesim. Apparently, there's a difference between mitzvah kvuras ames. Ki kilas elakim taloi. The pasuk says, "Kavatik berena bayamahu ki kilas elakim taloi." You have to bury the person because he has kavod abriyos. So you see that kavod, the fact that man has tzelem elakim is the general mechayv of kavod abriyos. General, and the non-Jews also have tzelem elokim, but after they die, then there's no longer a chiyuv to be mechaber. The only calls man the nochri is alive, but by Yisraelim, the din of lo yitama even applies, the din of kavod abriyos even applies after the person died. It's a difference. Why? It's a good question. Why? Chaim Valojener explains that there's a difference between tashmishei mitzvah and tashmishei kedusha. The Gemara has in Megillah that tashmishei mitzvah calls man mitzvotam, you have to treat it with respect. Talis, a shofar, a sukkah, a lulav. But lachas, ma mitzvahs, and after the zman of the mitzvah is up, then you're not mechuyev to treat it with respect. Mashayne kein, tashmishei kedusha, even after it became nifsal. Have a sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzah, and it became so makulkal that it's not even shayach to correct it, to fix it. Still, you have to treat it with respect, and you have to bury it in the shemus. So the Tashmishi Kedusha, you have to be mechaben even after Zman Mitzvah Asa Mezav. As opposed to the Tashmishi Mitzvah, you only have to show respect called Zman Mitzvah. So perhaps this is, and Rav Chaim Volozhiner in Nefesh HaChaim gives you a definition. How does one determine what constitutes a Tashmishi Mitzvah, what constitutes a Tashmishi Kedusha? How do you decide? So he says, Tashmishi Kedusha are those things where there's Dibrei Torah. And he quotes a Gemara in Sotah. The Gemara says that when a person is performing a mitzvah, so the mitzvah will be megan on the person, protect him, should protect him temporarily, cause money is doing the mitzvah, cause money is performing the mitzvah, should protect him, that nothing should shluch a mitzvah in him, zokim, he should be protected physically, and he should be protected spiritually, that he shouldn't be nichshol in any aver, he should be megan on him, that he shouldn't violate other averes. But after he finishes doing the mitzvah, then the mitzvah will no longer protect him. As opposed to learning Torah, learning Torah is supposed to have a longer lasting effect, that it should be megan on the person even after he stops learning Torah, even when he's not learning Torah. The Gemara compares the difference between the two based on the pasuk, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. The mitzvahs are compared to a candle, and learning Torah is compared to a torch. That a torch lasts much longer than a candle. A candle is only lefishor. And the torch has a longer lasting effect. So that's why Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in Nefesh HaChaim, he thinks that the reason why Tashmishi Kedusha Nignozim, even after the Zman HaMitzvah is up, you have to treat them with respect, is because they had the Divrei Torah in them. That's the definition of Tashmishi Kedusha. So if the Torah is full of the mezuzah, it has the Divrei Torah. So Torah leaves a roshem that lasts on even after the Zman, even for later, for longer, like a torch. So that's why it has the status of you have to give it respect even after the Zman HaMitzvah is up. As opposed to mitzvahs only leave a roshim temporarily, called Zman Yeraisik and the mitzvahs. After the Zman HaMitzvah is up, then you don't have to treat the Tashmishi Mitzvah with respect anymore. It's Mizrachim, and you can throw it out in the garbage. So it could be that that's perhaps the difference between the Kavod Abrias that's required of a person. We are required to give, we are obligated to show Kavod Abrias to the Israelim and to the Nachrim. Perhaps this is the difference. The Gemara says that even a Jew who never learned the word of Torah, an ignorant Am Ha'aretz, but our tradition has it, we assume, whatever this means, that the Malach teaches the baby Kavod Torah Kula before he's born. The Jewish babies. The Jewish babies learn Kavod Torah Kula. So every Jewish neshama is considered like a Tashmishi Kedusha. Because there is an imprint of Divrei Torah, and even though the baby forgets it when he's born, and the person after he's born never learned the word of Torah, but it's going to be Rishuma Nikar, the effect of the Divrei Torah that was engraved, so to speak, and his neshama is going to have a lasting effect. And that's why there's a requirement to show respect for the body that had the Divrei Torah in it, even after the person dies, after this Zman Mitzvah is up. Now he doesn't even have an opportunity to learn Torah if he wants to, as opposed to the Nachri doesn't have the Torah engraved on his body. Just like a Tashmishi Mitzvah. Kol Zman HaNachri is alive, so he has an obligation to keep Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Erev. Some of them do, and some of them don't. Okay, so those who keep the Sheva Mitzvah, so they deserve respect. You should give them Kavod Abrias, because they're polishing up their Tzelem Elokim. But after they die, so there's no more Tzelem Elokim. Shine finished. The lasting effect that even after the Zman HaMitzvah is up, you still say Lo Yitama, there's even a din of Kavod HaMeisim, so that's restricted only to Bnei Yisrael. Gemara Nazir has a machlokes Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef about that. A Nazir or a Kohen, the same. Nazir, a Kohen who already was mitami to a mace, so if he's going to be mitami to another mace on the next day, so it's going to be Moisif to Maltimasa, he's going to need a longer period of 7 days. He needs Hazor Shlishi Shvi. So if he's going to come in contact with a mace tomorrow, that's going to prolong the days of Tumah that he has. So that they all agree is forbidden. Machlokes Rabbi Yosef is what about on the same day? If he came in contact with a mace and now he's no longer holding on to the mace, and then he comes in contact with another mace, Is that considered Moisiv Tumal Temasa? Because after all, he's not prolonging the days of the Hazal Shlishi Shvi. The second Tumah was after the first Tumah on the same day, so it's going to be the same Hazal Shlishi Shvi anyway. So what's the issue? So the Gemara says the issue is whether Tumah B'chiburim is deraisa or not. Hold man that I'm holding onto a mace. The mace is Abiyah Vais HaTumah. When I touch the mace and I walk away, I'm an Av HaTumah. Then when I touch something, I make that something or somebody into a Rishon HaTumah. I'm holding on to the mace though, and I touch the other person, and not only am I an Av HaTumah, the other guy's also an Av HaTumah. That's called Tumah B'chibur. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether Tumah B'chiburim is a Din D'Araisa, a Din D'Rabban. If Tumah B'chiburim is a Din D'Araisa, then if he went to his mother's funeral, then on the same day he goes to his brother's funeral, he's going to touch brother's funeral is mutter. He's also one of the zayin. He goes to a stranger's funeral. So if he's going to, even if he's going to come in contact with the second mace on the same day, even though he's not prolonging the hazlah shlishi shvi, is it considered moisiv tumal timasay or not? Would depend on this shaila. If tumah b'chibur is veraisa, it means that at the time that I'm holding on to the mace, I am considered like an abi avoy satumah. So since I already let go from the original mace, he went to his mother's funeral. And he let go, so now he's only an avatum, he's no longer Abi Avois. Then when he's going to touch this new mace, or he's going to come in the same oil mace with the new mace, so then he's going to be on a higher level of tumah. So that's why the Gemara presents the issue. And it's a machlekes in Hilchas Ovel between the Rambam and the Ravid, how to paskin. Whether to paskin like Rabbi, to paskin like Rabbi Yosef. And the Rambam paskins l'chumer, that the Kozman, that he's still holding on to the first mace, and there's no issue to touch another mace at the same time. But once he let go, he's no longer holding on to the, no longer b'chiburim with the original mace, no longer in the same oil, no longer magamasa with the original mace, then even though he's not b'risiv tumal timasai by prolonging the hazor shlishi shvi, but still he's going to touch another mace, he does cause himself to have a higher level of tumah. It is b'risiv tumal timasai. That's why the Rambam passes. And the Ravid writes not so. The Ravid writes not so. But it's problematic in the Ravid. That the Ravid writes, the Rambam writes that whoever does that is loike. Someone touched a mace, a crane touches a mace, and then he stops touching mace, then he touches a second mace on the same day. So the Rambam says loike. So the Ravid says he doesn't think that he's loike. Questionable when the Ravid says not loike, he means that it's mutter. Based on the Gemara, should have said mutter. Does the Ravid mean mutter? Or did he mean no, it's asur, but he's ain't a loike? That was a big question. Mishlam Melech discusses that in Hilchas Sovel. What did the Ravid mean to say? So in later generations, they pointed out that the Ravid writes explicitly in the Sefer Tmim Deim, most of which is from the Ravid. It's a collection of some quotations from other Rishonim as well here and there. It always says whom they're quoting, but most of the Tmim Deim is by the Ravid. So in the Tmim Deim it says beferish that there is an Issa Deraisa. The Ravid agrees that there is an Issa Deraisa. It just says that there's no Malkus. So it's not so pashut that the Ravid holds that it's Mutam. And then the Shilti Giborim and the beginning of Masechta Shvuos quotes from the Smag that if one would adopt the position of the Ravid, he assumes that it's Mutam. One would adopt the position of the Ravid that a Koyin who touched the mace today, one of the Zayin Krogim, not one of the Zayin Krogim, doesn't make a difference. He touched the mace, either Beheter or Bias, and he let go. Then the Ravid holds that you're permitted to touch another mace on the same day. That's not the way it says in the Tmim Deim. The Tmim Deim says that you're not allowed to an Issa Deraisa, but you ain't a loike. And that's the way the Mashmois is in the Lashon HaRavid. If you want to give Malkus, all of Haraya, he says that he doesn't think there's any Malkus. Sounds like there is an Issa. But the Smag understood and misunderstood the Ravid as saying that it's Heter Gomor. So then the Smag adds on a giant step. He goes a giant step past that. So he says that since this Nanazer, we don't have access to any Efer Pora Aduma. So a Kohen who was once the Tami to a maze is being permitted L'Hatchila to go to any funeral he wants even a year later. So what do you mean he's prolonging the Hazor Shlishi Shvi? We don't have any Hazor Shlishi Shvi. He's not prolonging anything. He's not being Moisiv Tumal Temos. So the whole statement is strange. What do you mean? But theoretically, just because Lemaisa there's no Eifah Parah, but theoretically he's being Maisiv Tumal Temos. I don't know, but that's what some rely on. Some rely on that, the Shilta Giboran quotes the Smag, who says that according to the opinion of the Ravid, his understanding of the Ravid, that the Ravid meant to say that the Kohen is permitted to touch another mace on the same day, because it's not Maisiv Tumal Temos, So Bizmanazel, we don't have any access to Eif. But Paras is even permitted to touch a mace on a different day. Shver, Shver is smug. It's very difficult. Rabbi Kivega writes on Yeridaya that there is a din in the Gemara that the Kohanim don't observe. Even the most observant Kohanim don't observe. The Gemara says that all the Chutz Laretz that we call Eretz Amim has a tumim in the Rabbanim like a cemetery. There's tumas Eretz Amim. We treat all the Chutz Laretz like one big cemetery. What is that? Based on... So the Gemara says that because the Nochem bury all over, and not only the Nochem have the practice of burying all over, but more than that, in the days of the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael, the Mabul only affected Chutz Laretz. There were dead bodies strewn all over the place. So Miodea, wherever you live, there could be a dead body right below. So Midirabonim we treat as not a real suffix. Midirabonim we treat all of Chutz Laretz like Tumas Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says in Mele there's a din that a Kohen is not permitted to go from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. And even if the Kohen is born in Chutz Laretz, it's like a Kohen is born in the cemetery. So he has to run as fast as possible to leave the cemetery. He has to run out of the cemetery and run to Eretz Yisrael. So the Shaila is, how come we don't see that? Not so common. We see Kohanim going from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. When we see Kohanim who are born in Chutz Laretz, they don't run to Eretz Yisrael right away. What happened to this din? So Rabbi Kivega on Yeridaya, in the end of Yeridaya, where they have the Hilchas Tumas Kohanim, so Rabbi Kivega writes, he quotes the name of Mari Castro, that since this whole din of Tumas Eretz Amim is only Midi Rabbanon, so here they rely on the Shitas Haraivim, that Kohanim is Manazeh, are permitted to be Mitami Lameisim, because they were already Tami once before. Who says the Kohen was Tami once before? Why? Every Kohen attended a funeral. Why? A young Kohen, he never attended a funeral. Chas v'shalom, when one of the Zayin Kerovim will die, he'll have to attend the funeral. But called man that no one ever died, everybody's alive. He's never attended a funeral. So why should you say, why should you assume that he's already, he was ready in Avatum?
We're not Mizrach
but he's only Tomei to that extent. He's only Tomei to the extent of Tumas Ameis, but he never came in contact with the Ameis itself. So it's still being Mois of something. The fact that a Kohen, we pass and a Kohen is permitted to come in contact with the Cherev or Ekecholo, he's not permitted to come in contact with a mace. Obviously there's something more in a mace than there is in Cherev. So just because he came in contact with a Cherev doesn't give him a head to come in contact with a mace.
That's just his Cherevs, but all the Cherevs seem to be two of the Tarev Cherevs.
Yeah.
So in terms of the Tumor, it's identical. It's just that he wasn't
Miscarved. So now he's being Miscarved to a mace. Now he's being Miscarved to a mace. He stays in the Chutzlot. Mamsh in the cemetery. Yeah, Tumas Ohel is also Bichiburin.
That's also Bichiburin?
Same, it's considered also when I'm holding on to a mace or on the same Ohel with a mace, that's also Chiburin.
If I'm going to say Ohel with
a
mace, I'm going to say
While I'm there. So even if I stick my hand outside of the ohel and touch someone else, it's not under the same ohel, he'll become an abatuma. Based on the din of tuma b'chibum, and that's a machlekes, whether that's the rice of the rabbanon. The yikra b'di yikra. That's called the yikra b'di yikra. Somebody touches somebody who's holding onto a mace. But the yikra b'di yikra is the din of tuma b'chibum, and that's the machlekes in the gemara, whether that's the rice of the rabbanon. Yeah, colorful as it is, we don't accept this Shitas HaRaivim. The Smag argues the point is that according to the Raivim, the Kohanim is Manazeh would be Mutter. So we don't pass like that. We don't pass like the Raivim. And it's hard to say that we are relying on the Raivim with respect to the Tumas Eretz Amim also. So Shver, the question if the Raivim ever said it, because the Raivim as it appears in the Tumim Deim says Faker. He never said that it's mutter for the Kohen to be mitami a second time in the same day. He just says that there's no malchus, implying that it is an Issa deraisa, but just that there's no malchus. Who was the one who pointed it out? That's the Dogma of Ovar writes that someone brought to his attention the Ravid in the Sefer Tvim Deyim. So the Hasam Sefer writes in one place in his Chuvah that his Rebbe Rav Nas Nadla once met the Nadi Yehuda, he was the one who showed it to him. That the Rebbe Yehuda used to work on the assumption that the Rebbe holds that it's mutal atame the mason is not as that, according to the Shittas HaRaivim. Mutal atame the mason. So Rav Nosson Adler showed him that it doesn't say like that. So he writes, Chassam Sofer writes, I was there on the occasion when they met. said, I'm not Nadler, showed him the Tamid. And then he realized that he was wrong. So that's why in the Dogma Mavava, the way it's printed on the side of the Eridaya, he says that it was brought to his attention. It doesn't say who, it was brought to his attention that it says like that in the Tamid. If the rabbit holds that there is an East.
Go back to the government.
Still has that value. The Baruch Shalom wants the Kohanim to be connected with life, not with death.
But it's only because they have that practice of doing
Amtsu. Okay.
I mean, that's not really inherently a mitzvah. We're just doing it because that was the practice. So in order to cause the Yeliba, we do the Amtsu. That's the
question again. Still is relevant today. People of other religions still make a big tzimis about that. And we do not. We say you have to be mechabed the mace, cover a breeze, even after the person dies. But a person can gain spirituality without having anything to do with birth or with death. A person can just be living, and only have to do with living people, and gain a lot of spirituality. Okay, Pasuk seems to imply more reasons why. That they should be Tahorim, that they should be able to be Makav Kabbalahs in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a positive reason. They should always be, even when the Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash came, they should be prepared. They should be in a state of constant preparation to be Makav Kabbalahs in the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Torah gives a list of all the forbidden marriages for the Kohanim, and it says Vikidashta, and the Gemara understands Vikidashta Bal Korchai. Vikidashta means Dafenu. Rashi writes Al Korchai Shimloi Rotsa the Garesh. If the Kohen is married to an Ishu Hasura Olav, Halkehu, give him Malchus V'Yasrehu, and pressure him and beat him up Bachi Garesh. Rashi quotes from Yevamos. Marin Gittin and Perek HaNizokin has another comment on this pasuk. Vikidashtoi, Vikidashtoi l'chaldavish v'kedusha l'vtach rishon l'vrach rishon l'ita mana yofer rishon. You have to be mechabed the Kohanim. So the Tosis writes in Chulin and Perek Yisi Adam that comment of the Marin Gittin, Vikidashtoi, to be mechabed the Kohanim, to give him the first aliyah, that's only an asmachta. They don't think that that's a din deraisa. The Marin Gittin calls it a din deraisa. The Marin Gittin says that it's a din deraisa. So the Tosfos says it doesn't really mean derais, it means it's only an asmachta mit the Rabbanan, because the real pasuk v'kidashta means like Rashi writes on Chumash, v'kidashta bal korchai tafenu. You have to push him and pressure him not to violate the Yisuri Kuna. Tosfos in fact tells the story that the Gabbai once, there was only one coin in Shul, and the Gabbai called up the coin to take the first aliyah. And another guy ran up and he took the aliyah. And everybody, he said, Baruch HaShem and Baruch, and everybody answered, he said, Shabbat HaMan, Asalaam HaTarasemis. The Balkari lane, and he stole the first aliyah. He got away with the whole thing. Everybody went along with it. So the shaila is, the Gemara says that there's a penalty for one who steals a mitzvah from somebody else. Rabbi Gamliel introduced the penalty that you have to pay asara zehuvim. It's quoted in the Chosha Mishpat. Taisa says the Bizman is that we don't have this penalty because we don't have smicha. So we're not dandini knosses, Bizman is that. The Shulchan Aruch quotes other Rishonim who disagree with Taisa. It's a different kind of knoss. You're not dandini knosses, Bizman is that means kefal dalvehei, anisam efata, that kind of stuff. But this is Hayroa Shor L'Migda Milsa. This is not one of the Knosses Hamuris Bater. It's a different kind of a Knoss. So this Knoss, he wat on Bizman Hazeh. So this is in the end of Chosha Mishpat, they quote this din, that whoever steals a mitzvah from somebody else, he penalizes him, he make him pay the Asar Zuhuvim. The Tosfos discusses this issue, the guy who stole the first Aliyah from the Kohen, does he have to pay the Kohen Asar Zuhuvim? So Tosfos thinks he doesn't have to, and they give a few reasons why. So one of the suggestions that Tosfos gives is that the penalty only applies when it's a mitzvah deraisa, and this whole idea that the kohen is entitled to the first aliyah, this is only midirabbanan. It's only a mitzvah deraisa that the person is entitled to midirabbanan. But if it's not, either the mitzvah is only midirabbanan, or the being entitled to it is only midirabbanan, then you don't have to pay the asara zehuvim. So that's what the shach in the end of Chosha Mishpat asks the kashan taisa. The Gemara tells a story there in Chulin. And on one occasion, the mechabit people were eating. On one occasion, the mechabit one person, he should bench mezuman. And when you bench mezuman, only one of benches mezuman says all the brachas. Everybody else just listens and answers domin at the end. But they don't all say the benching. The Mechaber suggests, the Mechaber recommends, Bizman Hazeh, that people are not so attentive to others, so it's a good idea. You should say along with the Mezamin the whole benching softly. But Mikra Adim, Bizman HaGemara, only the Mezamin would say the brachas of the benching. So the Gemara has a suffix. This penalty that you make the fellow pay Asar Zehuvim, is that per mitzvah or is that per bracha? What about if he stole the Mezumin? Benching is a din deraisa, and then Mechaber this guy, they all decided he should bench, but whatever, the rabbi, he should bench Mezumin. So you're stealing four brachas from him, but all the four brachas constitute one mitzvah of a bichas hamazon. So the Gemara is not sure whether he'd pay 40 zehuvim or 10 zehuvim. Then the Gemara comes to the conclusion, 40 zehuvim. The court of Raisa, yes, 40 zehuvim. You pay $40, 10 zehuvim for each bracha. So the Shach asked the Kasha, but we all know that the fourth bracha in the benching is only mid the Rabbanan. I tell you about made the love their Raisa, the Gemara says, Shaharei, the proof is, the Perlim don't, people who are employed by others, not self-employed, so they have to be brief when they daven and have to be mekatzer when they bench. So they have to delete the whole bichas hatayv ha-meitav because it's lav deraisa. Shariyakim oisav, the Gemara says, the poilim, oiker, the whole bracha, they don't say it at all. So that's a right, that it's only midirabbanan. So why doesn't he just pay 30 zehuvim? If Taisus is right, that on a mitzvah midirabbanan, you don't pay the 10 zehuvim, so why does the Gemara say that the benching is worth 40 zehuvim? That's a big problem. The Shach talks about it, the Tzitzachoshin talks about it. Remember, Rav Soloveitchik thought that the 40 zehuvim are 30 for the benching and 10 zehuvim for the Rabbi Simon Ben Benchin. Baruch Shachan Mishlov Tevuchayinu. That's a bracha. So it says in the Gemara that if you walk in and the people just finished reciting the first part, Baruch Shachan Mishlov Tevuchayinu, so you say Amen. If you're there and you haven't eaten and the Mezamin says, Baruch Shachan Mishloi, so you say, or you say, Baruch Shachan Mishloi, so you say, Baruch. If you ate, so you say Baruch Shachan Mishaloi. If you didn't eat, so you say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai Tamid Liyanavoy. If they're benching Bo Asara, and he says Nevarach Elakeinu, so if you ate, so you say Nevarach Elakeinu Shachan Mishaloi. If you didn't eat, so you say Nevarach Elakeinu Baruch Shmai Tamid Liyanavoy. You can't say Shachan Mishaloi. What if you came in after they already answered, and you realize that they just answered Baruch Elakeinu Shachan Mishaloi Tivuchayinu? So then it says in the Gemara that you say Amen, because that's also considered a bracha. The Absolvechik thought that that's their Isa. The Gemara learns that Vichas Hazimun from Sukkim. So he thought that's an institution their Isa. And those are the four brachas. The first three brachas of the Vichas Hamazon, Azonas Hakol, Aloret Val Hamazon, and Rachimna, Bani Rachma Bishalayim Amein. And then he thought the fourth bracha is not Atev Ameitid, but rather the bracha their Isa. The fourth bracha their Isa would be the Zimun itself, which constitutes the bracha. Anyway, that's a famous thesis in Chulin on Daf Pei Zayin. The thesis suggests that this Vikidashta v'chaldav shebikdusha, that the Gemara called that deraisa. The Gemara in Perek HaNizak and in Gittin says that that's a din deraisa. The thesis tones it down and they say that the word deraisa doesn't really mean deraisa. It means it has an asmachta. It's only the Rabbana has an asmachta. That's a shayla. The Gemara in Ksuba says that a married woman has to cover her hair, and the Gemara says that that's a din deraisa. Some don't want to say it doesn't really mean a deraisa. It means it's a derabanan, but it has an asmachta. Like Tosfos says over here, v'kidashta. It says v'kidashta is deraisa. The Tosfos writes in Chulin, and it doesn't mean deraisa. It means it's a derabanan with an asmachta. Some want to say that it doesn't make too much of a difference whether it's a deraisa or a derabanan. Orthodox Jews observe nidim derabanan also. What prompted some to say that it's only derabanan is because the sifrei and that pasuk. Parshas Soitan, Parshas Naso, that says, a forest, Rosh HaIsha. It says, when a Isha Soita comes to the Beis HaMikdash, so the Kohen who's going to administer the Mayim HaMorim should uncover her hair and loosen her hair and so on, be mevazah her. So it says in the Sifrei, it says, married women have to cover the hair. Rachel Pishain Rai, Ladav, Zecha, Ladav, Shinem, a forest, Rosh HaIsha. Mikan, that it's a Gnai, the Benais Yisrael, who are married, to go Pruei Rosh. So why does it use that expression, Apophish and Raya Ladov Zecha Ladov? That expression perhaps sounds like it's only a din derabanan. No. The Sfida Yesh has a whole discussion about that din. When the Gemara said in Ksuba Zafayim Beis that it's a din deraisa, does it really mean it or not? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein assumes that it really means it. Moshe assumes that a married woman has to cover her hair as a din deraisa. He says a woman who's divorced or whose husband died, a woman is an almana or rusha, and it says in the Shulchan Aruch that she has to continue to cover her hair. He thinks that that's only the rabbanan. Because man that the woman is married, he thinks that that's a din deraisa. And he has a difference in psak halacha with respect to certain cases that are safek. He says, if she's still married, so that's Safek Deraisa L'Chumran. If she's divorced or she's widowed, so then he says it would be a Safek Derabban L'Kulam. A bracha that doesn't have Shem and Malchus is not considered a bracha. Maybe it means the Rabbanon is not a bracha, maybe Minotaur is a bracha. I don't know. The Kohen Gadol does not have a hesed to be mitami to the Zayin Kreuzen, but the Gemara says that both the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hed you'd have a greater hesed than the Zayin Kreuzen, namely a Meis Mitzvah. They're permitted to be mitami to the Meis Mitzvah. The Rambam and the Gaonim and the Chachmi Svara and the Mechaber Paskin, that Avelus Yom Rishon is Deraisa. When a relative dies, the obligation to observe Avelus is Menater. And the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs derives it from this pasuk, Lo Yitamo. Lo Yitamo means that the kohen has to be Metame to the Meis, Derech Hisaskus and the Fura. That's 2 days in Taisus, in Sochem and Zorah. Taisus has two opinions about that. Let's say one of the seven relatives died. And today is Shabbos. We're not going to bury the mace on Shabbos. Even on day of offering, you don't bury a mace on Shabbos. It's a bizoyim for the mace to be buried on Shabbos. So do you say that the heter for the coin to be metamit to the Zayin Kreuzen applies even on Shabbos when he's not being metapel in the kvura? Or do you say no, it only applies to Mimos Achol when he's being oisik in the kvura? So that's 2 days in Taisus in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam says l'chumer that the coin is not permitted to be metamit to the mace on Shabbos because there's no hisaskus in the kvura. And the Rambam understands also like that, that lo yitamo means he has a mitzvah, he passes like Rabbi Kiva, it's a mitzvah to be mitame to the Zayin Kreuzen, derech hisaskus in the kvura, and he said that this hisaskus in the kvura is the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Avelus, one of the aspects of Nidul Gavelus, and the mitzvah of Avelus is rooted in this pasuk. This is the mitzvah, the obligation to observe Shiva for 7 days and Shloshim for 30 days. Sometimes Yid Beis Chodesh for a whole year, Allah Alim, and that's only, those details are only the Rabbanan. But the obligation to observe a full Nihu Gavela for 1 day, so the Rambam thinks that that's a Din Beraisa. Where did he get this from? The Rambam and the Gaonim and the Mechaba like that? It's based on the Beraisa and the Gemara in Moikot in the third Perek, but the Gemara has an expression, Kol Shehakon Mitamei Lo, the Ovel is Mesabalolo. All the relatives mentioned in Chumash, that the kohen is metami to them, so the kroivim, if such a person should die, so the relatives, even if they're not kohanim, have to be mistabel aleihem. And then it says the tanraim added on additional relatives, even if it's a half brother and a half sister from the mother's side, not from the father's side, even if it's achos and nesua, the tuma is only achos apsilo shalohai to liish. Achos and nesua is added on by the later tanraim. So it sounds from the simple reading of the price as if the avelus. Certain aspects of Avelus are deraisa based on this pasuk of lo yitam, and it's based on this also that the Gemara says also in the third paragraph of Mikot that the Kohen Gadol does not observe Avelus on any of the relatives. There's no Avelus, the Rambam writes not so, but the Gemara says the Kohen Gadol doesn't observe Avelus. Why not? So the Pashto says because it says the Kohen Gadol lo yitam, he's not allowed to be mitami to any of the kreivim, and the tumas hakreivim means a form of nihu gavelus. It says the Kohen Gadol does not mitami, means that he's not noy gavelus. He doesn't observe any Avelus at all. That's how it says in the Gemara. The Torah has the dinim of mum. There's a mum patzel in a koin. If a koin is a balmum, he's not allowed to be makruf kabbalas. He still has a kedushas koin. Says he's submitted to kochi kochim. He has a full kedushas koin. He's not allowed to be mitambil amesim. He's not allowed to marry a grusha zayin of a halala. But he's puzzled to be makruf karbonis in the Beis Hamikdash, and the din of balmum even applies to the karbonis. It's shared in common between the karbonis and the kohanim. A carbon which has a mum is puzzled to hakrev al gavim. It's be'echanu chumash lists of all of the mum. It doesn't make a difference whether it's a mum kavu or mum ma'iver. If you makruf the carbon while it has a mum, so you're not yoytzei the mitzvah. The difference is if it's only a mum ma'iver, if it's going to heal by itself, but then after it heals, then the carbon is kosher lahakrev. So the Gemara understands only Mashchasam Bohem Mum Mum. Called Mashem Mum Boy, it passes. After the Mumayver heals by itself, then he can be makrid the carbon on the Mizrach. And then the Taisus Yishanim points out in Yuma, in Perek Shnei Stira Yom Kippurim, as John points out, the Gemara talks about a psul dichoy. There is a din in karbanis if you had a carbon that was kosher, and then for some reason or another something came up which prevents you from being makriv the carbon on the mizbeach. I said the mizbeach was nivgam. The mizbeach has to be meruba, has to be a square. But they wanted the stones of the mizbeach fell out. Somebody dropped a hand grenade in the Beis HaMikdash, and one of the stones of the mizbeach fell out. So you can't be makriv any karbanis, even on the other side, because the whole mizbeach has to be meruba, square. So if they fix the mizbeach, and now it's okay. So the din is that any karbanis, let's say I shechted a carbon, I have the dam, and all of a sudden the mizbeach collapses. So that dam, I cannot wait an hour and have the get a mason, and they'll fix the mizbeach, and they'll make it meruba again, and now I'll be zarek the dam. The Gemara says, no, since there was a reason that prevented me, even though it was only temporary, that prevented me from being makriv of the carbon, that the even after that reason disappears, you're not allowed to be makriv of the carbon later. So the makriv, that's a din of dichoy. Even though the siba, this reason for which you're unable to be makriv of the carbon temporarily goes away, the halacha says you're not allowed to be makriv of the carbon even later on. The psul of dichoy. So Taisus Yishanim and Yuma writes on the Sugi and Perish Nasira that the makriv is from this pasuk, that it implies only ki mashchasim b'hem mum b'am, only by mum is there such a din, that if you have a mumayv and it gets better by itself, then you can be makriv of the carbon. But any other, if the carbon was unable to be kariv on the mizbeach for any other reason, even if the reason is taken care of, and now there's no siba not to be makriv, I say it's a psul of dichoy. This is the makriv of that din. One of the mumim that the Torah lists off by the Bemis is umach v'chasus v'nasuk v'charus lo sakriv ul Hashem. If there's a mum in the beitzim of the zohar, and then it continues to say uvi'artzachem lo sasim. So the Gemara, Rashi quotes from the Gemara that this pasuk uvi'artzachem lo sasim means that you're not allowed to castrate any animal. It's an issa to be misaris v'heimachai v'yoif. The Gemara even says an insect. You're not allowed to be misaris even an insect. The Gemara in the second perek in Baba Basra says, and certainly a human being. There's an issa serious on a human being. I mean, even to be misaris one who is already misurah. So let's say the person is ainu roi lahoilid anyway, but then you're going to cause damage to the eva haleida, another damage to the eva haleida, that if not for the first damage, this would have caused that person or that animal to be a sorah. So the Gemara says that a misaris acha misaris also like it. Gemara in Shabbat, there's also another area. To do the act of siris is erisa. The original pasuk happens to be speaking about male animals. What about female animals? What about by nekevis, women? So the Rambam writes that if one is misaris a woman, there's an isa, but it's ain't a loike. So that's a big question in Achrayim. What did the Rambam mean? There's an isa, ain't a loike. It means it's an isa de Rabbanan. Because the original pasuk only talks about a zohar, or perhaps he meant no. In the Rambam, you have a lot of times an isa de raisa, ain't a loike. It's like chotzi shir asmanatar. You have an isa de raisa, ain't a loike. It could be that the Rambam means to say that there is an isa de raisa. That's a biragroa in Ebenezer, like that, the end of Simen Hay. They talk about sirus by behemoths and sirus by human beings. So the Bir HaGroa implies that the Issa Sirus than Sirus Zohar. So the Gemara talks about Kosher Likorin. What about taking some kind of a chemical, swallowing some kind of a chemical that causes the person to become soris. So the Gemara says that by women, if the woman has pain from childbirth, the Gemara says that Rabchia's wife had a set of twins of boys, and then she had a set of twin girls, and then it was too hot for her. It was too difficult for her to. She's going to have another. She's going to keep on having twins or more. So she wanted to take a kosher likor. So the Gemara says that under such circumstances it's permissible for a man to take a kosher likor, we assume it's also. For a woman, we assume it's mutter if it's a big shazadcha. That's the question, why? Why is that so? If you hold that siris by noshim is only the rabbanon, it's easier to be makel if it's an isa deraisa without malchus. So why is it considered less chum? So that's a big discussion in poskim. Sometimes it's medically recommended to be misaris someone, so then you have serious shaylus. If it's mishum safik sakona, so pikuach nefesh is derech kol tarkula. What if it's not mishum safik sakona? So Moshe has tshuvas, so the Gedolim have tshuvas about it. When do you have a right to be mekel on Sirus? Hamum kavua means that it won't get better by itself. If you do surgery, it'll get better. That's still a mum kavua. That's still a mum kavua. If it gets better, then you can be makir of it. Then you can still be makir, because the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. Why is mum oiver an exception to the rule? So I don't think anybody thinks that mum oiver is a special sibul. So half of the tanoim say that the reason why mum oiver, you don't apply the din of dichoy, is because balechai men in the dog. The whole din of dichoy, you only sets in after you've already done the shechita. You've already done the first avoida, and already has a kedushas korban. So the reason why a mumayver is an exception to the rule is not so much because mumayver is different, but rather because it only has kedushas aguf la mizbech. It doesn't have kedushas korban yet before the shechita. So even a mum kavua, which is healed by day surgery, would be the same. That's the way we paskin. That the balechai mein nidah. That's how the Rama paskin. Even according to the other Tan and the other Amaroyim, who say that balechai mein nidachim, and they said the only exception to the rule is mum. I don't think it only means a mum. If you have a mum kavua and you did surgery, it'll also be. The halacha says that it's a mum oiver. Let's say if you have a mum oiver that you know is not going to get better by itself unless you'll do surgery. So there's a taisus and mcharis. Taisus points out that that's called a mum oiver. That's called a mum kavua, and you can be paid of the animal. But I plan to do surgery. The minute after he's going to be paid of the animal, he's going to do the surgery and remove the whole mum. So it doesn't make a difference. Right now it's a mum. Right now it's a mum kavua. You can be paida. But if you were not paida, unless you did the surgery and it got better, so then no mumum. I think everybody would agree then that it wouldn't be possible because of dichur. To permit birth control. Morris says that if a person is supposed to get married at a young age, I recommend everybody should get married pretty young. Morris says we give you a grace period, 20, till 20. Supposed to get married young. So the Morris says an exception to the rule is if the guy is learning and he's very much clear and learning, if he's going to get married, he's going to have to make a parnas, he's going to support the wife and the children. Unless the girl's able to support him or he has a Yerusha or something. But if it's going to be an issue that he's going to get married, he won't be able to continue learning. So then Gemara says it's allowed to postpone getting married. So if there are methods of birth control where there's no violation of Hashchos HaZera, which many Poskim hold there are such methods, so then one would recommend let the guy get married and practice birth control. Why should you tell him not to get married and wait to meet a different girl? He already met a nice girl now, so let him get married now. And let him practice birth control if he feels that having the children is going to interfere with his ability to be masliach and learning. There's a shatla that comes up all the time. Let's say we have in our generation, a lot of people are becoming balei tshuva, and they come to realization after a couple of months, after a couple of years, that they're mamzerim, that their mother's remarried without a get. That they are mamzerim. So the question is, are they mechuyev to fulfill the mitzvah pirei v'rivya? The children are going to be mamzerim. They can't marry a isha k'sheira because lo yava mamzer b'kal Hashem. So they either have to marry another mamzeres, or they have to marry a gioris. Even if they marry a gioris, the children will be mamzerim. Or let's say a mamzeres, a girl realizes she's a mamzeres, so she'll marry a ger. So right there, if either the father or the mother is a mamzer, even though the marriage was beheter, a mamzeres is permitted to marry a ger or a gioris, but still the children will be mamzeres. So is there an obligation to fulfill pirvirivya in such a case, or would you recommend that the person should remain single? So that's a shaila in the Prima Gaudim. It's interesting when you look in the Oitza HaPaskim, an Ebenezer that has a likut of all that writing. So the first siman in Ebenezer discusses the mitzvah pirvirivya. So that's the first sif cotton. That's the most burning issue in the world. The first sif cotton. The Oitzer HaFoskim HaEbenezer is this question. In certain areas, this is the most pressing issue. Now, the mamzer or mamzeres have a mitzvah to get married and have children. What kind of a mitzvah is that? To bring mamzerim into the world. So some recommended this solution to the problem, that the mamzer, that this will only work in one direction, that the mamzer marry a gioris and practice birth control. And whenever they're interested in having children, let him use artificial insemination. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a chiddush that even if the donor, even if the father of the baby is a mamzer, but it's done by artificial insemination, that then he's mechadish that the vlad will not be a mamzer. Because the vlad is, that probably means that the vlad is not mesiachas after the father. It means that the child will not be a kohen. Let's say a mamzer marries a Jewish girl, and they have a child not through the normal means, but they have a child through artificial insemination. So if you say artificial insemination, the vlad is not mesiachas after the father. So the child will not be a mamzer. It won't be. Let's say so if the father is a kohen, the child won't be a kohen either. If the father's a lady, the child won't be a lady either. They'll only have a mother. He won't have a father at all. So maybe in such a case we would recommend practicing birth control. One of the parents is a mamzer. It's hard to say it's a mitzvah for them to have children. A mitzvah to be marba mamzer and be Yisrael. Shvera Eitzim. What Rav Moshe said is questionable whether that's true. Rav Moshe has two chidushim. One chidush, he talks about a married couple who can't have children. Let's say the husband is unable to have children. So they'll use zera mi'ishacher, artificial insemination, from someone other than her husband. So he assumes that there's no violation in doing the artificial insemination. But then the question is, let the child be a mamzer. The child is born from a father and a mother. Couldn't have had three chidushim with each other because this woman is married to someone else. So Rav Moshe mechadish, no. Since nobody violated the Isser of Eishes Ish, so the child is not a mamzer. So that here, if we understand what he said, and we understand why there are those who disagree with Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe argues the point, nobody violated the Isser of Eishes Ish. How can you create the mamzer? But then Rav Moshe has a further step. He says that even if the father is a mamzer, even if a man is a mamzer, and you use his zera to artificially inseminate a woman, so you're not interested in creating mamzer, so you're just talking about transmitting the psul mamzeres to the next generation. So he says it doesn't go over because there was no ma'aseh bia. Why not? Why doesn't it go over? Maybe that's what he's suggesting, that the vlad is not mesiachas after the father. The vlad is not mesiachas after the father if it was born in a natural way. If it was born unnaturally, so the child is not mesiachas after the mother. She carried the baby. Not mesiachas after the father. So not mesiachas after the father. So if the father is a mamzer, the child will not be a mamzer. That's a shaila. Let's say sometimes you have a normal case. A kohen is married, and they can't have children in a normal fashion, and they have to have assistance from the doctors. So they use the zera habal, and they impregnate his own wife. So then it'll come out that the children are not kohanim. That's usually assumed not to be the case. We usually assume that the children are kohanim. That's a question in Rishonim, right? Whether that is so or not. Whether the vlad is mesiachas after the father, if the vlad was born not through the normal fashion. That's a question. Moshe talks about it. Yeah. At the end of Parshas Emor, you have the Parshas Hamoados, which appears three times in the Chumash. You have it in Emor, and you have it in Pinchas, and you have it in Re'eh. In Emor, the Torah gives you a brief sketch of the Amitayim with respect to the Issa Malacha. And in Pinchas, the Torah speaks about the Kedushas HaMoados with respect to the Chiyuv HaMusafim. And in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah speaks about the different Yom Tov with respect to the Chovis of Chagiga and Ria, Oilos Ria and Chagiga, the Mitzvos HaYoy. Our practice is that on the first day Pesach and on the first day, on the second day Pesach, and on the first day of Sukkot, the first 2 days of Sukkot, we lay from Parshas Emor, and we lay from Parshas Re'eh on the the last days of Pesach, and the last days of Sukkot. Why did we decide to lay it on the first days from Emor, and on the last days from Re'eh? We lay every day from Pinchas, because we lay from Pinchas about the Muslims, and that's from the days of the Gaonim. So this is quote, that's not in the Gemara, that's from the Gaonim, that you take out a separate Sefer Torah, and you lay from Parshas Pinchas about the Musafim. But why did the Tanoim choose like that? They would, on the first days we should learn from Amor, and the last days we should learn from Re'eh. Is Rav Soloveitchik suggested, not sure whether he said it jokingly or he really meant that. So I think he really meant it. He said that in Parshas Amor, the Torah is speaking about the Yisra Malacha. So you want to tell him from day number one, don't do Malacha. What good is it going to do if you're going to wait till the last day Pesach to tell him you weren't allowed to do Malacha last week? And you wait till the last day Sukkot to tell him, not about you weren't allowed to do Malacha last week. Good morning. Now they wake up and they tell them, we should tell them from day number one. What about the laying on the last day from Parshas Re'eh, about the Chagiga and the Riyah and the Simcha, so that's Tashlumin called Shiva. There is a din of Tashlumin. So we lay on the last day, hey, just in case you forgot. They bring the Riyah and the Chagiga and the Simcha, there's still Tashlumin called Shiva. That was the suggestion that he made. The Torah said that connect between Pesach and Shavuos, you have Sfiras HaOmer. And the Gemara points out in Chagiga, in the second parak in Chagiga, that there seems to be a bit of a discrepancy between the way the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is presented in Parshas Hamor and the way it's presented in Parshas Re'eh. Here it says, Esfarat Melachem, Tisperu Hamishim Yom, you count 50 days. And there it says, Shivu Shavuos Tisperuch, you count the weeks. So which is it? Do you count the weeks or do you count the days? So Abai says, no contradiction. Mitzvah Lemimni Yoimei or Mitzvah Lemimni Shavuos, they're both true. Mitzvah to count the days and Mitzvah to count the weeks. So that's why we said regarding today say today is the 32nd day, that makes 4 weeks and 4 days in Sefiras HaOmer. So we count both the days and the weeks. So the Gemara Chagiga in the second parak has an interesting comment that depending on how you're counting, that's going to determine the end result. What will Shavuos be? So because he counts weeks, so Shavuos is established as a Yom Tov of a week. And because he counts days, Shavuos is established as a Yom Tov of a day. With respect to what they say that Shavuos is a week, it's not true. Shavuos for the purpose of Yisra Malacha, as well as for the purpose of Hakrovas HaMusafim, is only a yontav of 1 day, it's not a yontav of 1 week. So the Mishnah says in the second parak in Chagiga that whoever didn't bring the korban oila, the shalom Chagiga on Shavuos has tashlum in the first 6 days after Shavuos. Mara offers different suggestions. How did the Tanoim figure out this din? One mocker is from the institution of Sefiras HaOmer. And the fact that you count both the weeks and the days, that's for the purpose of establishing the Yom Tov Shavuos as both a holiday of 1 day, as well as a holiday of a whole week. So it's a holiday of a whole week for the purpose of Tashlum and Kol Shiva. That's why we understand the opinion of Beni Yeruchim, who writes in this sefer regarding Sefiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh, is it Deraisa Derabbanan? So the Gemara raises the issue. In the Maskon, it's a Machlokes Tosfos and the Rambam and the Goyim. Tosfos claims that Sefiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh is the Rabbana. The Rambam and the Goyim hold that Sefiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh is the Raisa. So the Rabbeinu Yeruchim has a compromise shita. He thinks that Sefiras HaOmer regarding the days Bizman Hazeh is the Raisa. Regarding the weeks, is only the Rabbanan. So he says it based on the Pesukim in Chumash. But even without the Diyukim from the Pesukim in the Chumash, we understand why it is so. This Ban Shein Beis Hamikdash Kayam, what are you going to establish a voice as a Yontif of a whole week for what purpose? For the purpose of Pashlumin for Chagiga. There is no Beis Hamikdash, there isn't going to be any Chagiga. So you don't need any Tashlumin. But to establish Shavuos as a yontif for a day is relevant to Yisra Malacha. So that's noyig, even Bizman Hazeh. The Gemara has like that. Ameima mani yaymi v'loy mani shavui. He only counted the days and he didn't count the weeks. So the Rabbi Yerucham understands that's the reason why. Because the days today are minatar and the weeks don't exist at all. We count the days and the weeks, so he assumes that the weeks are only with the Rabbanan. So we have the Girs in the Gemara. Ameima counted the days and he didn't count the weeks. Omar Zechel HaMikdash. What's Zechel HaMikdash? What, the days are only Zechel HaMikdash? So the way we have the Girs in the Gemara doesn't read straight. But the Rebbe Yeruchim must have had a different Girs in the Gemara. Ameima counted the days and he didn't count the weeks because there's no Beis HaMikdash today, so what he needs Shavuos to be established as a whole week. And then it says, Rabbanan, the Bei Rav Ashi didn't follow Ameima's practice. They counted the days and the weeks. And they said Zechel HaMikdash. We have in the Gemara that Ameimer didn't count the weeks because he said it's only Zechel HaMikdash. So the Mepharshim tried to understand, so therefore it's only the Rabbanan, so therefore you only make partial Zechel HaMikdash. But the Rabbi Yerucham apparently didn't have that gear. He had Ameimer counted the days and not the weeks. That's the din deraisa. That the days are deraisa, there's none of them, the weeks, there's no fear. And the Rabbanan, the Bei Rav Ashi, the Gemara quotes, Rabbanan, the Bei Rav Ashi counted both the days and the weeks, because they said that's Zechel HaMikdash. To count the weeks is not as there. It's Zechel HaMikdash. The Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs raises a question. Why don't we recite two distinct brachas? One on counting the days and one on counting the weeks. If it's really mitzvah the mimni yomi, mitzvah the mimni shavui, then why not say two brachas? So the Rambam said, nah, it's not two distinct mitzvahs. It belongs in one mitzvah, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He says the mitzvah is fulfilled by counting days and weeks together. It's not two different mitzvahs, and that's why you don't say two brachas. That's the pashtus like the Rambam says. So the Rabbeinu Yerucham is also bothered with that kasha. Rabbeinu Yerucham is after the Rambam. A different school of thought in the Bali HaTaisis sheet. So Rabbeinu Yerucham is bothered with the kasha, so he says, no, they're really two distinct mitzvahs, to count the days and to count the weeks. And Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, when they were both there, Raisa, you would say two brachas, once for counting the days and once for counting the weeks. But Bizman HaZeh, since the counting of the days is there, Raisa, the counting of the weeks is only the Rabbanon, and you already said a bracha on the counting of the days, so it's not necessary to say a bracha on the counting of the weeks. Truly, the Gemara says one recites a Bichas HaMitzvah even when performing a mitzvah mit the Rabbanon. The Gemara points it out both with respect to Mikra Megillah as well as Hadlokas Neiros Chanukah, that despite the fact that the mitzvahs are only mit the Rabbanon, you still say a bracha, you still say Kiddushan Mitzvahs of Itzivonu. But if Ben Kovako, you're performing a mitzvah deraisa in conjunction with a mitzvah deRabbanon, and you said a bracha on the mitzvah deraisa, so then he says there's no need to recite the bracha on the mitzvah Rabbanon. Something similar to what the Tosfos points out in Makkos, in the beginning of the third parak of Makkos, Elohein Aloikin. Let's say a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha, that's an Issa deraisa. The Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalutza, that's an Issa deRabbanon. The Kohen lives with a Grusha, we give him Malkos deraisa. The Kohen lives with a Chalutza, we give him Makkos Mardis deRabbanon. What if he has two wives, both prohibited marriages? One is a Grusha, one is a Chalutza. And you only gave one hasro. So if a kohen has two wives, both grushes, and you gave him hasro in advance, then the Gemara says he gets twice malchus. You gave him hasro in advance, don't be with this wife and with that wife, because he's going to give you malchus. So you give him twice malchus. It's gufim mukhlokin. But what happens if one is a grusha, one is a chalutza? So since the chalutza is only the Rabbanon, so true, one who violates the Issa chalutza, the Rabbanon deserves malchus mardis. But if Ben Kavaka, we're giving him malchus deraisa because of the grusha, and Chalut says a hemshech of grusha, so then you don't give Makkos Mardis in addition to the Malkos Derais. It's covered with the Malkos Derais. So Rabbeinu Yerucham has some similar notion over here. He says that it's only Bizman HaZeh, that the counting of the weeks is only the Rabbanon. That's why we don't recite a separate bracha. But Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, and the counting of the weeks was also Derais. So he claims that they would have taka said, we don't have any Sidurim left in the times of from the Zman HaBayis. How come we talk, don't have any Sidurim left in the times of the Bais? So the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, in Perek Kol Kisvei, 24 Prokim in Masechah Shabbos, big Masechta. In Perek Kol Kisvei, the Gemara says on the first daf that seems to say that included in the Isser of writing down Torah Shabbat Peh was that you're not permitted to write down the Nusach HaTfilah. That's also considered Torah Shabbat Peh. You're not allowed to write down Brachas, you're not allowed to write down the Nusach HaTfilah. So we'll never know who's right. The Rabbi Yerucham claims that his bancha based Mikdushai Kayam, he's trying to reconstruct history. So he says, Avada, they said two brachas, one in the days, one in the weeks. It's only Bizman Hazet that the counting in the weeks is the Rabbanah. He's saying a bracha anyway, the counting in the days, so there's no need to say a second bracha. But Bizman Hamikdush, that they'll both be there, right? So then we should taka say two brachas. And the Rambam says it's not true. They're not two distinct brachas, all part of the same mitzvah. The Parshas Emor, there's a famous Ramban who presents his disagreement with the Bali Atosis, the Chachmei HaTzofatim. And the Mishnah Lamelech has a long essay on this Ramban in his Drush Sefer that's entitled Parashas Drachim, where he understood that the machlokes between the Bali Atosis and the Ramban was what was the status of the Ovis Koide Matan Torah. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, their descendants, did they have the status already of Bnei Yisrael, even Koide Matan Torah, or no? That the Yovitz Bolo Yotze Mechlal Bnei Noach. So the Mishlam Melech assumed that this was the machlokes between the Ramban and the Balei Atosis. Why? Because their argument is the following. The Pasuk says that the one who was the Mekalel as Hashem, the Megadev, was his mother was Jewish and his father was not Jewish. Vayetze ben isha Yisraelis, v'hu ben ish Mitzri. The father was a Mitzri and the mother was Yisraelis. So we know that the din is, in the Mishnah it says, whenever you have a mixed marriage and the father is not Jewish and the mother is Jewish, you know the status of the child is that the child is a Jew. So the Torah's Kohanim has a comment on this pasuk. Rashi quotes, v'sof b'nei Yisrael malamed shen is gayer. What do you mean shen is gayer? Why does he have to convert? He was Jewish. His mother was Jewish and his father is a non-Jew, so he doesn't have to convert. So the Gemara says, so there is an opinion that Akam Haba Basal Ablad Kosher means a kosher goy. He's not Jewish and he has to convert. That's a minority opinion that's not really generally accepted. Minority, even though it appears in Rashi and Tesis. Minority. The Marshal screams in the Kiddushin and Yivamis, he said, what's going on? Rashi and Tesis say like that. But there's still, it is a Rashi, it is a Tesis, but that was the minority opinion. So, means he's not a mamzer. If he'll want to convert, he won't be a mamzer. If he would have been Jewish, Akma Bobas Israel, if he would declare that he's a mamzer, means that he's Jewish and he's a mamzer. If he's a non-Jew, he can't be considered a mamzer. And a non-Jew who converts, let's say a brother and a sister, not Jewish, practice incest, and they have a child, and that child decides to convert. So be a Yisrael kosher. He won't carry over the psul mamzer because he was never a mamzer in the first place. So if Akma Bobas Israel would have been Jewish, then he would have been a mamzer. But the reason why he's kosher, he's not a mamzer, because he's not Jewish. Even when he'll convert, he'll be Jewish, and then there won't be an issue of mamzerus. So there was such a minority opinion. Rashi writes like that in more than one place, and Tosfos has like that in more than one place, and the Marashur points it out. Rabbi Kivega keeps on bringing it up on Yeriday more than once. And some, I think Rabbi Shlomo Kluger writes in one place, Chalila v'chalila, not to require that the child should be Megayer. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. So that's what the Rishonim are bothered with. What's going on, Malamed Shinis guy? What does he have to have Geirus for? The majority of Rishonim hold he does need Geirus. So they quote, the Balei Atos quote, Rabbi Natam says, Malamed Shinis guy means, Shebo Lavur B'tof B'nei Yisrael. It doesn't mean he converted to Judaism. He didn't have to convert. He moved into the Machana. Even though he didn't belong to any Shevet, because L'mishpachosim L'veis Avosim, what Shevet he belonged to was determined by the father, and his father was a Mitzri, but he moved in with the rest of the Machna. So the other Balei Atosis say, what do you mean, Shinis Gayer? Shinis Gayer means Bo Lavur B'tof B'nei Yisrael. So it doesn't fit in with the words. It doesn't say that. It says Shinis Gayer. So that's a big problem. So some of the Rishonim say that halacha that we know, that the status of the child in an intermarriage is determined by the mother, That it only began after Matan Torah. Kodesh Matan Torah, that didn't apply. And the Ramban disagrees. Ramban quotes that from the Baal HaTosis, and he disagrees. Kodesh Matan Torah, v'hoi mishpot alei lecha achar ha-zochor, v'umet alei lecha achar ha-zochor. V'ein daitika, he says, from the time of Ram Avinu was Bob Ibriz, ho yu Yisraelim, v'goyim lo yischashvu, and adlan her lecha achar ha-aim. So the Mishlam Melech understood that this was the machlokes between the Chachmei HaTzorfatim quoted by the Ramban and the Ramban Shita. Whether the Ovis Kodesh Matan Torah had the status of Bnei Yisrael already, so the Ramban says it should have been determined by the mother, or no, they still had the status of Bnei Nechah, it should be determined by the father. But this is not necessarily, this may appear to be so in other places. There is a Gemara in the end of Chesed Sabbatim. The Gemara says one of the Amoraim, Rabbi Bano, was mitzayin all the cemeteries in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah says you have to be mitzayin the cemetery so Kohanim will know not to be mitamil meisim. So Rabbi Bano was in charge of being mitzayin the Moritz Hamachpelo so Kohanim should know where not to go. You see from the Gemara, Kohanim are not allowed to go in the Moritz Hamachpelo, so the Feirish Gemara. So the Taisus is bothered with the Kasha and not Gemara. Well, who's buried in Moritz HaMachpelah? They're all non-Jews. Adam Arishan, Chava, Aram, and Zorah, and Yitzchak, and Israel. They're all non-Jewish people. Everybody called him out of Torah. So nobody's Mitami Ba'ohel. You only have to be Mitzayin Kvoris with a Mitami Ba'ohel. Mitami B'maga? What? The kind is going to walk down. They won't let him walk down to the Kevah, to the actual Kevah. What is the concern? That's Taisus Kash. So Taisus says, the Halacha doesn't say that a non-Jew is not Mitami Ba'ohel. The Halacha says, Adam ki Yomus Ba'ohel. One is called Adam. Adam Rishon was Adam. That was his name, Adam. Adam is Mitami Ba'ohel. Avram Avinu is referred to Adam HaGadol Ba'anokim, a pasuk. So Avram Avinu is also Mitami Ba'ohel. Whoever is called an Adam. Usually we assume Matan Kriyim Adam Einu Masadam Kriyim Adam. But there is some Umasadam who are Kriyim Adam. Adam Arishan is Avad Adam. And Avram Avinu was also Adam. And the Ramban says, why are they playing games about that? What do you mean? We're talking about Jewish people. Jewish people are Matami Boyle. Well, it has to do with what his name is Adam, his name is not Adam. So it could well be that there is such a machlokes as the Balei HaTosis and the Ramban, but the obvious Kodesh Matan Torah. Had the din of Bnei Yisrael Bnei Nach, but this Ramban at the end of Amora doesn't necessarily say that this could be a different issue. It could well be that even the Balei HaTosis also agree that the Ovid, these Balei HaTosis, the Tzofatim that the Ramban was, could even be that they hold the Ovid Kodesh Matan Torah had the status of Din Yisrael, but still this Mishnah that says that in a mixed marriage the status of the shul is determined by the mother, that could be that that only began after Matan Torah for some reason or another. But it doesn't necessarily have to go along with the whole full shita like the Mishlam Malach says that the Balei HaTosis hold that Kodesh Matan Torah they didn't have the din of Yisrael. Could be they did have the din of Yisrael, but this detail is a different halacha. That's you have to learn more Gemaras to know why should this be different. Manish Tana, always we say that the status of the children in a mixed marriage is always determined by the father. If the father is a kohen and the mother is not, so the child is a kohen. If the father is a levi, the mother is not, the status of the child is determined by the father. If you have two non-Jews marrying, so the status of the child is determined again by the father. Whether the child is an Amaleki, a Mitzri, a Knaini, it's always determined by the father. And all of a sudden, if it's a mixed marriage where one parent is Jewish, one parent is non-Jewish, then it's determined by the mother. So there must be a reason for that. So it could be that based on a pasuk, it is clearly based on a pasuk. So it could be that pasuk only began after Matan Torah for some reason or another. So it could be that there's a good reason, but it's not necessarily connected with this issue. But that's how the Mishnah Melech presents. Mishnah Melech in the essay in Parashas Drachim assumes that this is the Nekudas HaMachlokes, whether the Ovis Kodesh Matan Torah already had the din of Yisrael. Or not. They didn't change until Ma'am HaSina. Okay, fine. This Shabbos everybody's invited. Come on, come all. Rabbi Chalap is the guest in the yeshiva. I am not going to be here. I am not obligated to go out of town. I won't be here on Sunday. Monday, try to wrap up the Chazorah. And on Tuesday, there's a final at 9:30 in the morning. See you then. Thank you.